Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
And I hope all is right in your world. These are interesting times. May you live in interesting times, which is actually a statement that is a curse. May you live in interesting times. That is a shot at living in interesting times. But 2020 continues to be ridiculous in every possible respect. Now, we attempt on this show, and I know I was away last Thursday into Friday, and you made sure to let me know that I have failed you. In every way. But we attempt to provide what we like to call a useful distraction in the overnight, the witching hour, and past the witching hour in the overnight. And I have contemplated whether or not to just ignore what goes on in the real world, what was happening right now in the real world, or to address the Komodo dragon in the room. And I've chosen to address the Komodo dragon in the room. And we don't live in a bubble. We don't live in a cocoon. We live in the real world. And so we're fully aware of what's going on right now. It's been just a wild time here in the United States. And it's not just one part of the United States. It is widespread. The fallout from the murder of George Floyd. We're going to try to compartmentalize most of this into this portion of the show. But I have a feeling that's not going to work. I have a feeling that's not going to work, but we are at some point here going to get, in short order, we will get to the 2020 Maller Militia Talent Show. Who's got talent in the Maller Militia? This has been planned for a while, a couple months. We pushed the date back. It was supposed to be last weekend. There was a holiday, Memorial Day, so we pushed it back to this weekend, and that's going to go on as planned. And that's just goofy overnight radio fun. That's what that is. That's just goofball radio fun because we all need fun. We all need a good time. But before we get there, right, before we get there, we have to discuss the events that are ongoing here in at least 75 cities across America. Now, this is the sixth consecutive night of what starts as demonstrations and then morphs in to criminal activity, and it's been going on in many cities across the United States. So the question, we'll frame it this way. What do you make of what has turned into protests that shift at some point? Somebody presses a button, and then we've got looting and criminal activity that is taking place all over the United States. This is not just one pocket of the country. So I just to kind of go through this point by point. Now, I do believe that the people that are protesting have started with good intentions. And even up until today, and I was watching some of the news coverage there, the people protesting the in-custody death of George Floyd in Minnesota, I think many of those people started in the right mindset. Now, and maybe all of them, but there is a percentage, and I don't know how big a percentage. I am not there. I have no idea how big a percentage we're talking about here of people who have crossed the line. And I don't know anyone that feels like that what happened in that case in Minneapolis was justified. I don't know anybody that thinks that that was the proper use of police force. And these things have popped up sporadically over the years. And I certainly don't think that that was the right. I don't know how you could say that was the right thing to do. And the police officer involved in Minneapolis has been charged with murder. But what has happened in the hours and days since is the unraveling of civilized people. I mean, and I know there's a lot of these are opportunists, but that's what gets the headlines. That's what gets the sensationalism, the opportunists there that are looking at this and taking advantage of this situation to run around like undomesticated lunatics and pillage communities. And it's not just one place. That's the thing that's the maddening part of it. There are people going around looting businesses all over. And, you know, I'm someone, maybe I was raised inappropriately, but I believe that there are, you know, some certain guidelines and laws that you have to follow as a society. And I don't know, some people were goofing on me, saying, "Oh, you know, you can't say that. That's racist." I would like to think it's not racist that if you're raised to follow, don't go out and steal stuff from a business. How is that racism? I don't understand it. I mean, I'm not saying you can go out and protest, but the looting has crossed the line that really rubs me the wrong way when people try to, like, "Oh, you can't say that. That's they're allowed to loot." No, you're not. You're not. You know, as far as being heard and that part of it, well, then the debate comes into, well, what are you looking to get? What are you looking to gain, right? It seems, reading some of the news stories and watching some of the television news on what has gone on the last almost a week here, is that there's a group of people that think they're opportunists, but there's some that are not opportunists that think this is the ends to a mean, that they're going to pillage the village and where people live and whatnot. And again, I look at this as a society. You can never listen to people who essentially give you an ultimatum, where if you don't do this, this, and this, we're going to continue to burn down and loot stores and things like that. That's not how a civilized society operates. And, you know, if you're really against the police and you hate the police and you think the police are the worst thing in the world, I hate to tell you that by looting and taking down stores and whatnot, if that is your stated goal to stop the police, it is going to backfire. You can expect to get more law enforcement presence as a direct result of these actions. And people are going to vote to increase, not to decrease, the police presence in communities as a direct result of what's gone on the last week, that the law enforcement has been unable to protect communities from people running around and committing crimes. Now, the second thing here, the other thing that, and this is the other thing that bothered me, you have the mainstream news media, many of them tongue-tied as they try to avoid speaking in certain terms about what's actually happening. And rather than just, as I said on social media, rather than call a spade, they attempted to use this alphabet soup to try to, they tried to steer clear of words like looting and rioting. And the default position was these people are just protesting. Yeah, some were protesting. Many people, the majority were protesting. From what I saw, the majority were. But enough people in enough cities crossed over from protesting and it no longer was a president. This is political correctness run wild. When a guy's running out of a Target like he's trying to get into the end zone with a 55-inch Samsung television, that's protesting? Right? Someone sprinting out of an Apple store with a brand new iPhone they didn't pay for, that's fighting injustice? The woman we saw in Seattle, by the way, a Cheesecake Factory, which Jay Scoop said, I didn't realize I was at this one, when we did the Mallor Man March in Seattle back at the end of 2019 before the world came crashing down. That was ransacked, the Cheesecake Factory. And there's video which has gone viral of a woman walking down the street in Seattle holding some kind of cake that I assume she didn't. It wasn't boxed, so I think she just took it out of the display case there at the Cheesecake Factory. She's fighting back against the man, though. Clearly. And even the acts against the police property, turning police cars into hibachi grills so you can get a selfie, that cost, I don't know how it is in other cities. I know in Los Angeles, the police cars are like $100,000 to put all the extra bells and whistles in those things. That's how much it costs taxpayers. So that then is tax money that would otherwise conceivably be allocated elsewhere. And it's instead placed to replace, it's spent to replace police cars so people could get photos in front of a police car on fire. Now, the last thing on this, and we talk a lot about sports, obviously, because it's a sports radio show, but this is bigger than that. And we talk about the perfect ingredients in a sporting event or certain things to happen in sports. But in this particular case, you talk about the perfect ingredients to create what has been the wildest week that I can recall in my life for people going over the top here, the civil unrest. It's very similar here. You talk about the list of ingredients. You have a lot of people who have been under stay-at-home orders for several months. Many of them either don't have jobs anymore or don't have money because they've been out of work. They haven't been getting paid. The government check didn't go far enough. And more importantly, this is an opportunity for people to get free crap. And people love getting free crap, and they can't get enough of it, and they're running out and running around taking advantage of it and taking advantage of the people that do mean well. And it's a shame. It's just ridiculous. Now, the other factor here, and this is different. I remember when I was much younger during the riots, I recall, just in L.A., the Rodney King riots that I lived through in my younger days, there was no social media. Like, I look at these highlights in different cities, and it's people trying to gain social media clout, it would appear. Like, wanting to get that viral video, get that photo in front of the bonfire in the middle of the street, or, you know, have video on your phone. It's crazy. Like, you're holding your phone while you're running in to steal stuff from the grocery store or the liquor store. It's unbelievable. I mean, and then this creates this whole whack-a-mole situation where it's like you play the game of whack-a-mole, you try to stop one group of people from robbing a store, and then they stop that, and the people run down to another store down the block, and it just never ends. It's crazy. It's like somewhere this is being choreographed. Some of this has to be choreographed on, I don't know where, on the social media platforms. Somebody's got to be sending this out. Hey, go over here, go over there. And I know in L.A. the other night they were talking about Rodeo Drive and making that a target. That was on Friday. And then on Saturday, that's exactly what happened. The other issue, obviously, because we do deal in the world of sports here, I have no time for grandstanding. And there's a lot of that goes on with issues like this and pearl clutching from people who work in sports. And there's many people that live a great life in the sporting world who they don't mind fanning the flames, pouring lighter fluid on top of a smoldering pile of rubbish while they hide in their mansions. And, it's like, I'm tired of it. It happens every time something like this takes place. This is obviously extreme, but similar situations. Now, there have been some athletes that have been out and joined the protest, but seems like there's a lot more that are like hiding behind their phones and telling people to do things while they're not actually doing it, which has bothered me.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There is some sporting activity. It seems like sometimes you come in here and there's nothing sporting to talk about, but there is something that caught my attention, and it's an NFL story. Anytime you have an NFL story, that's a good story. One of the more polarizing figures in recent seasons in the NFL is on the comeback trail. Who are we talking about? That would be Antonio Brown. This is Antonio Brown monologue 7,281 as AB attempts to work his way back into the good graces of the NFL. He's getting some help from a Hall of Famer, an NFL legend, the greatest shutdown defensive back in NFL history. Did you hear about this? Deion Sanders. Perhaps not. Maybe you missed it. And there's other things to watch. I get it. But Deion Sanders says he is trying to help Antonio Brown get back into the NFL. Now, AB traveled to work out with Primetime, who then, of course, posted glowing comments on social media along with some photographic evidence. He said the following. This is from Sanders. I can't wait to witness his comeback story, called A, B, and C. Close quote. Now, Sanders, who does Moonlight with state-sponsored NFL Network, says that he is praying to help get Antonio Brown back in the NFL. Now, A, B has not played much recently. He played one game in 2019 before being jettisoned, kicked out of town by the New England Patriots. He was originally with the Raiders, and that didn't go well with John Gruden. Then he ended up in New England, played one game, and then it was persona non grata. And at this very moment, as I am talking to you right now through these microphones, he remains Antonio Brown, an unsigned free agent. So let us discuss the question: what are the chances that we see Antonio Brown during the 2020 NFL season? Now, they're not zero. I'm going to set the line at plus 850. as the unofficial bookmaker of the overnight on Fox, that implies a 10% chance that Antonio Brown will end up playing in a regular season game. So I'm going 10%. My observations, you've got the assembly line, the mouthpiece, and seller's market. You've got those three things, and we will lock them all together. Now, number one. Antonio Brown, here's how I envision him. I got this cartoon bubble over my head, and this is how I envision Antonio Brown. He's holding a shovel at the bottom of a gigantic hole that he has dug, and he can't get out of it, right? There's no way to get out of it. These are self-inflicted wounds that Antonio Brown has been experiencing over the last couple of years, and AB doesn't have a fall guy. Doesn't have that, right? Look at the mirror, mirror on the wall. You're the one to blame. The reflection back on the mirror. He acted like a Looney Tune with the Raiders. He acted like a Looney Tune at the end with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, I enjoyed the show. I like the dinner and dance routine of Antonio Brown. Very entertaining. But he became a parody of himself on social media. And it was an assembly line of stupid for Antonio Brown. And while great content for our show, and we're thankful for that, it does not bode well for his NFL future. Now, at one point, we did every show for like a month, it seemed, with at least a brief mention. And not normally just in passing. It was more than that, over the nonsense from Antonio Brown. But that was a while back. I haven't spent much time talking about AB in the days and the weeks and the months since then. Now, the second thing here, Deion Sanders. Prime time. This is a champion of the trouble player. So it's not out of character for Deion Sanders to stand up and advocate for a player who's fallen on hard times. Fair to say this is not his first rodeo in this particular area. The most important thing that primetime can do is to be a high-profile mouthpiece who's out on television a couple times a week and going on social media advocating and singing the virtues of Antonio Brown, saying he's changed his ways. It's not the same old AB anymore. The spin doctors, if you will, change the narrative that Antonio Brown is a wackadoodle. I keep his name in a positive light. Antonio Brown, who by his standards has kept his nose relatively clean. When I say keep his nose clean, I don't know if his nose is actually clean. I just know that social media, he has not been acting in a taboo way on social media anywhere close to the way it had been. And so for the NFL, that's like the first step to come back and to play in the NFL. Brown has been a Boy Scout in comparison to his previous online persona. Consistently been posting sizzle reels of him working out with various NFL players. And as you would expect, looks great, running like the wind, Antonio Brown, as strong as a lion, but not a Detroit lion because they're not very strong. Unfortunately, everyone looks great on these sizzle reel videos. Like, that doesn't impress me. It doesn't, and it's not an indicator that he's going to be great. Mike Tyson, who's 53 years old, looks like he's good enough to be the heavyweight champion of the world based on sizzle reel videos. Now, final point. The biggest obstacle, and you know and I know what it is for Antonio Brown, it is the slow-moving legal system, which he is at mercy of the legal system. Not only that, he's at the mercy of the court system in addition to the mercy of the NFL. All right, and AB has been accused of sexual misconduct by multiple women, and then he sent threatening messages that were screenshotted and sent on social media to one accuser. All that posted online. You can check it out. It's an entertaining reading if you're looking for that. And Brown was also charged with assault in April, stemming from that incident which moving man Matt from Boston nailed, the incident with the moving truck driver, and Antonio Brown didn't want to pay for his stuff. And then when the driver said, okay, we're not going to bring you your stuff, he then had a hissy fit and started throwing stuff and taking his stuff, and it was a big mess. So, but the way I look at this, the streets are a-talking. All right, the streets are a-talking around Antonio Brown. And from what I've been hearing, the best case scenario for AB would be a four-game suspension. Now, that would mean if everything goes right and there's no setbacks, he would miss 25% of the 2020 NFL season and then be free to return for a truncated 12-game regular season. And the thing about this that some people are blown away by is, like, Antonio Brown, if he was cleared today, the first day of June, if the NFL said, you know what, no one's paying attention because of what's going on around the country and around the world, but we're going to let Antonio Brown sign with an NFL team. He's free. It is a seller's market in play here. Despite Antonio Brown being a highly volatile stock, you never give up on talent. That's always the mantra of the NFL. You never give up on talent. Antonio Brown has 7 Pro Bowls, 4 first-team All-Pro selections. He's 31 years old, so he's at the end of his prime athletically as a receiver. You're at the end of your prime at age 31, right? Prime usually goes till age 32. And the teams that would be lining up to kick the tires on Antonio Brown are the Seattle Seahawks, the Baltimore Ravens, the Washington Redskins have been mentioned, among other teams that would be willing to take a flyer on a firecracker in Antonio Brown. Imagine if he ends up, after spending a year in self-imposed purgatory by his actions, and then strolls out with the Seattle Seahawks and has Russell Wilson chucking the football to him, or lands in Baltimore where he's got his cousin, Hollywood Brown, and then he's got Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, one of the darling picks of the popular people in the AFC. Those are all options on the table for Antonio Brown. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. You want to talk about that, you are more than fair game, but we must get back to the talent show. And if you did not hear last hour, we only had one act, so you didn't miss much. Anthony in Anaheim, he got a 9. He did some stand-up comedy that did not resonate with myself or Inca Terror. Inca is one of our celebrity, he's our celebrity judge, man of the people. Inca Terror, he's a classically trained musician who's in New York. He's in upstate New York. And we'll get back to the talent show right now. 2020 Maller Militia Talent Show. And next up is Real Talk in New York City. Hello, Real Talk.
Okay, are we loaded? Okay, but I know times are back then. I have tons of talent, but then I feel my greatest talent is asking the tough questions and picking the brain of Ben Maller. So, Ben, for your talent show consideration, how about another round of Ben and the People?
All right. Well, this is great. And hold on a sec. Let me start the clock here. Hold on a sec. Let me go through.
Okay, wait. Before you do that, Ben, let me give the rules. Yeah. For those who don't know how Ben and the People work, I ask Ben questions about someone in his staff or a caller. Ben gives his answer, and that person will get the chance to respond if they're so inclined. So, Ben, how about a round of Ben and People, the Inca Terror edition? Are you down, Ben?
Oh, the Inca Terror. All right. Very good there. Go ahead, Real Talk.
Okay, so Ben, you may not know this, but there's a couple of websites like Blind Mike's Movie Vault and applications like Shiro, which allow blind people to listen to movies that are described and narrated. But I was on the NFB website, the National Federation for the Blind. I found a lot of blind people don't like to have their movies described. So, first question, when Inca Terror watches movies or television shows, does he prefer described or undescribed?
Yeah, see, I don't know Inca that well. I know him from the show, and we've exchanged emails a few times. I think he likes things described to him. I think he likes stuff described to him.
Fair enough. Okay, so we all know, question number two, we all know that Inca Terror is a professional pianist. But do you think that Inca Terror plays any other musical instruments, and if so, as good as the piano?
Yeah, I don't. I think he only plays the piano. He's mastered it. And he doesn't mess around with anything else, and that's how he makes his living. So I'm going only the piano for Inca Terror.
Fair enough. Okay, so I was going to know, when Inca Terror, question number three, when Inca Terror is at home, do you think he lives with friends or family? He lives with his significant other, or he lives by himself?
That's a good question. I would say he probably lives with friends or family, I would think. So some combination of that I would go with.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. And here's the last question. And I think I want everyone to answer this one because it's very important. In regards to the death of George Floyd, do you think Inca Terror supports or denounces the civil unrest and protesting that's going around from state to state?
I don't know. Is that your final question, Real Talk? Is that
Yes, sir. What do you think?
Oh, wow. Does he? How about he supports the protest but not the looting? How about that? I'll go with
that. Okay, so for your talent show consideration, that was another round of Ben and the People. I am Real Talk, and I am out of here.
All right. Well, I was thinking that would take a dramatic turn there at the end, but I did not.
What just happened?
Shocking, the curveball from Real Talk. I was expecting a very repulsive question about Inkaterra at the end, but it did not happen. So how do we grade Real Talk? Now, we'll tell you, he went way over. He went about, we allowed him for some reason, because he's former Call of the Year. He went way over the time limit. But compared to Anthony in Anaheim, we did not have to drop anything that he said. I'm going to give Real Talk, I'll give him a 5. I'm going to give him a 5. Eddie?
I don't understand what the talent was in that he just asked questions.
Journalism.
I give him a 0.
He's a journalist.
He gets a 0.
A 0. All right. Well, that's personal with Eddie.
No,
Roberto,
it isn't.
Roberto, what score do you give him?
His delivery was better than Anthony Anaheim, so I'm going to go with a 5.
A 5. All right. So we're up to 10. Koopa Loop.
You know, Eddie asks where the talent was, but can you believe that Real Talk was able to muster up the talent and to, like, not
curse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not do something crazy there at the end. That had to be difficult for him.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 5.
A 5. All right. Wow. We're up to 15. It was all about Inkaterra. Now, Inka, how do you feel about this? You heard it. You heard it live on the phone there. You're listening in. And what do you give our guy Real Talk?
Yeah, this is a genre I don't even know what to call this genre, but 5 is my favorite number, so I can't do that. But look, I'll give him 400% more than Anthony, so a 4.
A 4. All right. So there we go. So that's a total of 19. Who knew that Real Talk currently in the lead, and he has gotten 10 more points. Shocking. 10 more points than Anthony in Anaheim.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
You know what we have on tap, which I'm excited about. Do you know? Can you figure it out? Let's see if you can figure this out. Let's see if you hear this and you know what's coming up. Let's see here. Right now.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
You have not gone to a parallel dimension. It is Maller to the third degree. Earlier than normal, so we'll get back to the talent show. Coop's got to line some more people up. But what do we have here for the third degree, Koopaloop?
Well, it was revealed in a report over the weekend that Patrick Ewing turned down interest from the Knicks back in 2018. Now, at the time, he had just finished his first season with Georgetown. Ben, do you think that he made the right decision staying in school?
He's not in school. He was coaching in school. I'm going to give this a thumbs down. And I'll tell you why. Hey, Patrick Ewing oozes Madison Square Garden, Knickerbocker basketball. That's in his DNA. He was part of one of the great Knicks eras, although they didn't win squat, but they were regularly pretty good with Patrick Ewing. The NBA is the top level of basketball. Right? College is the JV, and you had a chance to go coach in New York City, and you turned it down, or at least you didn't even want to pursue it further. That's a bad job by him. And B, listen, Ewing, let's call it what it is. As a college coach, he's a garden variety. He's a generic coach at Georgetown. He's been there 3 years. He's 3 games over 500. He has yet to coach a team to the top 25. He's yet to coach a team to the NCAA tournament. Those are some of the baseline things that you would expect at a school like Georgetown from the legacy of John Thompson back in the day. But they aren't anywhere close to that level. And the NBA, you figure that's a better lifestyle anyway. You don't have to go around and play the game of charades with recruiting. New York would have been a better avenue. Now, do I think that Ewing would have been a coach that would have turned things around and made the Knicks relevant? No, absolutely not. But his reputation would have bought him time, and he would have made a ton of Jim Dolan's money. So as a financial move, we know Ewing, like everyone else, loves money. Remember that famous quote from Ewing back in the NBA work stoppage in the 90s? So, yes, he should have absolutely gone and pursued the Knicks job. And now that his name's come up as an assistant coach with the Knicks, which doesn't make a lot of sense that he would leave a head coaching job for an assistant coaching job. All right, next.
So Lane Johnson and DeSean Jackson have an idea on how game broadcasts can fill the void of no fans. They think that all players should be mic'd up this season. Ben, is it a good idea, and would the NFL actually do it?
All right, so number one, you have to look at this. Like, I just did a rant a few minutes ago about profanity. If you curse all the time, it doesn't have the same impact as when you selectively drop an F-bomb. It just doesn't. And the same thing applies to having everyone mic'd up. That would be, first of all, it'd be a logistical nightmare. Even if you could pull it off and have every player on the field mic'd up, it wouldn't work. It's too much. All you need is the coaches, the star players, the players we know of, or the players that we think would be entertaining. That's all it takes. Those are the only ingredients that we need. And the second thing, the NFL has rejected, as a general point, they have rejected these type of proposals in the past, outside of like the Pro Bowl, because of there's a widespread paranoia among the coaching ranks and the front offices that there's going to be espionage, you know, that Belichick's going to hack the microphones and the Patriots are going to have an unfair advantage. And they say it's because of competitive reasons, which we think was a bunch of poppycock. But I would be, the word is surprised, if they have a sudden change of course. They should have the star players mic'd up. Who cares about that? But to have everyone know, but again, I would be surprised if they go down that road. They should. They likely will not. Next.
So this weekend, we learned that the 49ers and George Kittle are far apart in contract extension talks. And according to his agent, he's looking to get paid like a wide receiver. Ben, yeah. Any chance of that happening?
I'm like, you know, Coop, it's like I want to get paid like a daytime talk show. So, you know, they can make more during the day. Am I going to get paid like a daytime talk show? No, I'm not. I can ask for it, but I'm not. Now, the first thing here, this is a harbinger of things to come for the 49ers. Now that they've tasted success, they didn't win the Super Bowl, they choked it away to the Chiefs. Everyone has their hand out now saying, pay the man. Pay the man. The Niners have to work a tightrope walk to end up succeeding here and not falling into the same trap the LA Rams fell into, where they paid everyone the big money and then eventually they had to get rid of a couple of guys they didn't want to get rid of because they signed checks they couldn't cash because of the salary cap. Now, secondly, George Kittle, he is going to end up getting his money. I don't doubt that. Someone's going to pay him, but it's not likely going to be in the Bay Area. No matter how great you are as a tight end, your impact is severely limited by being a tight end. Jimmy Graham is somewhat of a comparison. Jimmy Graham was a great player in New Orleans. Very productive with Drew Brees as a pass-catching tight end. He really was a receiver more than a tight end in New Orleans. And he got paid a decent amount of money, but eventually they traded him away. They had like a 7-9 year in New Orleans. They traded him away to Seattle to get an offensive lineman to patch up the offensive line. And Jimmy Graham slowly got worse and worse. And he's still in the NFL, but he's not nearly as lethal a weapon as he was back before he was traded to Seattle in 2016. So George Kittle, if he's hell-bent on getting the money, he will get the money. If he wants to stay with the Niners, it would not be prudent for the Niners to pay him as a receiver. There it is, Mallard of the third degree. How did we do?
Ben, you passed this edition.
There it is. That's a winner. You can put it on the board. Yes.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Next up in the talent show, oh boy, we got the international line, Eddie. This is our first international contestant. We go now, we leave the madness of America, and we go down under, leave a shrimp on the Barbie. We welcome in from Australia, listening to us live, where we're not an overnight show, the guy affectionately known as the Aussie Guy. Hello, Aussie Guy.
G'day, Big Ben. I hope all the members of the Mallard Militia are staying safe over there in the US, and I'm looking forward to getting into this talent show.
All right, Aussie Guy, very nice there. What will you be doing for us on the talent show here?
So an old saying is, dance with the one that brung you. And so, you know, I rose to fame in the Mallard Militia through impersonating callers. And so that's what I'm going to do tonight. And I'm going to bring in 19 callers and one crew member is my challenge to get into the 60 seconds, Big Ben.
Wow. So you're going to Maller Show impersonations, and you said 19 callers? Really?
19 callers and one crew member, Big Ben.
All right. Well, that's a lot. Man, I'm excited about this. This is one of our heavy hitters here in the Maller Talent Show. And Aussie guy, you're on your way. 3, 2, 1, and go.
It's a new dawn. It's a new day. Maller Militia, let's get into it. Hey, I'll be talking in the house. There's a teleshow for that ass. Boom, Ben, you's a hater, man. Houston living rent-free in your head, Ben. My line was getting really tangled. Ben, I love you. Get a job, bitch. Good morning, Ben. Danny G, they dropped the guillotine on him, too. Maller's the best. Then there's the rest. Hi, Ben. How are you? Baby, you want to get with me? You got to give me that good stuff.
Can you help me speed up my spin cycle?
It's getting born, I'm telling you. Thank you, Ben and Eddie. Coopin' for those drops. And there's a Mexican, Roberto. That's registered. Am I actually on the live air? If I was any better, I'd host a show and remove my gallbladder. You hang up on yourself, Ben Maller. Got a murder. Got to go.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
That is outstanding.
Who is the crew member, though? I didn't pick that up. Did you pick that up? He said he was going to do somebody on the crew, I thought he said.
Yeah, I didn't hear that one either.
I heard Regina. I heard Justin in Cincinnati. He even did Jay Scoop. That's, boy, you talk about forbidden. That Jay Scoop's the guy that wins the talent show every year. Well, very impressive work by the Aussie guy. Oh, man, how do you give that? I mean, it's not a I wouldn't go perfect 10, but that's a 9. I'm going 9. That's the highest score I've given out here. I laughed. It was entertaining. It was creative. He spent a lot of time putting all those impersonations together, so I'm going to give it a 9. Eddie.
High praise, but I think it's deserved. The sheer number and going from different types of voices back and forth I thought was impressive. And I think I didn't time him, but I think he squeezed it in the time allowed as well. Yeah, that's going to be tough to beat. I'm going to go with my highest score so far. Will it be an 8 or a 9? I'll go 9.
9, all right, 9 and 9. Okay, and Roberto.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a 9 too for everything Eddie said there, and I probably would have gave it a 10 if I would have knew distinguished the crew member. I'll give him a 9.
All right, well, very good there. Koopa Loop, what do you give our friend Aussie guy all the way from Australia?
Well, I thought it was
Coop is flustered. You're already flummoxed, Coop.
No,
I
thought it was great. I want to give it a 10, but there were a couple impersonations in there that I didn't think. But I was so like Justin in Cincinnati, spot on. Regina, spot on.
Yeah, that was great. Regina was great.
And Jay Scoop was spot on too. I'm gonna give it a 9.
A 9. All right. So 9, 9, 9, 9. It sounds like a drop on the show. And Inca Terror, the trained classical musician, what did you think of Aussie Guy's impersonation?
This was fantastic. And also remember that, you know, last year was sort of a down year for him. He studied well. He studied the advice he was given. And
that's right.
I think that deserves a 10.
A 10! Wow, our first 10!
Good call. Good call, Inca Terror. I should have given it the 10.
Wow, bro.
Wow, that is so impressive. And so we have a collective score here. What are we at, Koopa Loop? That's 9, 9, that's 18, 27, and then 36. So 46, is that correct? Am I right on that?
Yes.
All right,
it's going to be tough to beat.
All right, he's already hung up, the Aussie guy. It's international. He has to pay for that call, so he's hung up. But thank you. All right, very good, Aussie guy. You're in the lead, and you have jumped way ahead because the previous leader, we had Philly Rob, who was at 36. Philly Rob calls up. He did the Maller fight song, which we liked. That was good for the lead, but now he's been passed by the Aussie guy. We have many more great acts to come here, as some heavy hitters, as I said, still waiting in the on-deck circle. But right now, better late than never. Let's bounce over to Eddie, get you caught up on what you need to know as the talent show will continue.
And we'll get right back to it. But first, a couple of notes. First, Major League Baseball and continues to be, not optimistic as far as getting the season going. Players Association delivering a return-to-play proposal to the league. It includes a 114-game season, deferred salaries in the event of a canceled postseason, and expanded playoffs for 2 years. The players' proposal would see the season run, the regular season run, from June 30th to October 31st. Reports are that the players' proposal is going to be shot down by the league, and also other reports that the owners are ready to cancel the 2020 season if players do not agree to additional pay cuts. Soccer, the MLS Players Association voted to approve economic concessions for this season, including across-the-board salary cuts, while also agreeing to play in a proposed summer tournament in Orlando, Florida. The proposal will now be sent back to the league for approval by team owners. And in auto racing, Brad Keselowski, better to be lucky than good. He won the NASCAR race Sunday at Bristol Motor Speedway after a collision with one lap to go between Chase Elliott and Joey Logano knocked them out of the race and gave him the victory. Now back to Ben Maller for more of the Talent Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Who said people that call into overnight talk radio don't have talent? Listen, this is the best and the brightest. Even during crazy times that we're living through, and we're going to get right back to it. Although we are apart these days, we're sharing more, and Geico's sharing more too with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for both current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. As the Talent Show continues, we just had our lid blown off here on the show because our friend the Aussie guy just killed it, and now we keep it going on the Talent Show. Our next participant making his way to the stage right now from the great state of Ohio, a longtime caller to the show, Mitchell in Ohio. Hello, Mitchell.
Hey, what's up, Ben? Hey, he did do a crew member. He did. That's racist, man. That's Roberto.
Oh, is that Roberto? No, Roberto doesn't say that. It's not no. How dare you? Right, forget about that, Mitchell. We don't have a lot of time. So what will you be performing for us, Mitchell? You have 60 seconds. What will you be performing?
I'm just going to surprise you with it, Ben, because if I give you the title, I'll give away. If I say the title, I'll give away the song.
All right. Well, your little song from Mitchell in Ohio. And let me set my clock here. Hold on a sec, Mitchell. And get my timer up. I got this. Hold on a sec. We'll hit that. And 3, 2, 1, you're on your way. And go.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., well, there's pride in every American heart. And it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died and gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Hey. All right, I did not expect that from Mitchell. God bless the USA.
Thank you, Jesus. Greenwood.
Who knew? No idea. How appropriate, right? Absolutely. God does need to bless. Crazy times here in the United States over the last few weeks, and actually all year, for the whole world, for the whole year. But anyway, all right, well, Mitchell, listen, that was better. I did not expect that. I didn't know what to expect. You're a pretty reserved guy when you call the show. You're pretty serious. You're a meat and potatoes type of caller. But that was good. I like that. And I'm gonna give it a 7. I thought that was pretty good. I'll give it a 7.
What in the world?
No, Eddie. This is Mitchell. This is Mitchell. This is a guy that calls up and, hey, what do you think about the Reds or the Cowboys? That's that. And for him to go out of his comfort zone and sing, and he didn't screw up the words or anything like that. I'll go with 7. Go ahead, Eddie. Give your little score.
I don't understand how you give someone who sings the Garth Brooks songs a 0 and you give that a 7. There's no consistency in your judging at
better.
All.
This was better.
No consistency in your judging at all. All right. I will always give somebody credit for calling in and singing like that. That
don't
is hard.
Qualifiers
that is
this.
Hard to do, and I give it, you got guts to do it. But I'm not going to give him any more than I gave Blind Seabass because I thought it was about the same quality. So I will go with a 3 as well.
A 3. Oh, my God. Roberto.
The effort was great there. I'm going to go with a 5.
A 5. Yeah. All right. Roberto's going with a 5 on that's an average score. Koopa Loop.
I think along the same lines as Eddie, but I do think the quality was a little bit better than Blind Seabass.
Great effort, yeah.
So I'm going to go with a 4.
I like how you say that reluctantly. Okay.
I like Mitchell. I do.
No, you don't.
But
you
it's
don't
a 5.
Like
but it's a
you hate
4.
Him.
I can't stand him.
Stop. Stop lying. So that's, what are we up to so far? What are we up to? That's 17, I think. Or is that
I want to change mine. I want to give him a 4.
You want to go to a 4?
I want to go to a 4.
You're a softy, Eddie, giving him a 4.
Because it was, Coop's right. It was better than Blind Seabass, so I gave him a 3 too. So I will give him a 4.
All right, so we're up to 20. And Inca Terror, who's the trained musician on the show. Inca, what's the score here, Inca?
Well, I still think he sounds like Alex Jones, and now I know how Alex Jones sings. I was nervous for those high notes, but he got them. So I'm giving him a 6.
A 6. All right. Well, that's a very high score, all things considered. So very nice there. So that's a 26 for Mitchell, which is not good enough to get into the lead, but we will have some the voting for the people as well to help decide this as well. And we got some other prizes, so thank you, Mitchell, as well. I appreciate that. Do we have time to slide in one more contestant, or should we press on? We do have the instant advice line.
Let's just do it.
Let's do it? All right, we'll do it right now. Let's keep it going on the always popular talent show. Who is next here? Oh, another heavy hitter. Let me tell you something. This woman was our runner-up the first year of the talent show a few years ago. And last year, she did not enter a submission, but she is back and better than ever. Make way for the talented singing of Rachel in Montebello. Hello in Southern California. Hello, Rachel.
Hello, Ben.
Welcome.
Ben.
Good to have you on the show.
Thank
again,
you, Ben.
Rachel.
Ben, Eddie, Coop, and Roberto, and Inca Terror, all those famous at FSR. These are trying times we are living under, Ben,
yes,
to say the least. So I speak to that part of God in each and every one of us when I say, we are the world, Ben's great militia. We are the ones who make a brighter day, so let's start giving. There's a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives. It's true, we'll make a better day, just Ben and you. Above all, remember to keep hope and love in your hearts, America. The world is watching. God bless America and God bless the world. It's true, we'll make a better day, just Ben and you. What say you, Princess Bella?
All right, well, Rachel, thank you. You can kind of combine a couple of songs there for our entertainment. We appreciate that. Very good, as always. Rachel, she kept it short. She stayed in the time restraints that we put on our contestants there, so that's good as well. We got to pick up the pace here. I'm going to give her the same score I gave Mitchell. I'll give her a 7. Eddie?
I do like that she incorporated the show a little bit into her song. She did have Coop and Roberto waving their arms in the other room. They really enjoyed that. But it was kind of short. It wasn't as long as some of those. I'll give her. I'm going to give her a 4.
A 4. Oh man, you are such a schmuck today, Eddie. A 4. That's all right. 11. Roberto, what do you got, Roberto?
A 5.
5. All right, that's an average score. So we're up to 16. Koopa Loop.
Ben, I thought it was on key. It was in tune. I loved the spoken word interlude in between the songs.
That was a nice touch.
That had me hyped. I'm going to give it an 8.
Wow!
The highest score so far out of Koopa Loop is an 8. That's a 24, and she can blow past Mitchell depending on what Inca Terror says here. Hello, Inca.
I wanted more. I really did. I always look forward to Rachel. I'm going to... It was a slightly pitchy for my taste. I'm sorry, Rachel. I'm going to have to give you an 8.
An 8?
Wow.
Wow, that's a high score also.
Wow.
Unbelievable. So a 7, an 8, an 8. Eddie only a 4. He's a mean guy. Roberto a 5, also a mean guy. But that's a good job by Rachel in Montebello.
She only cares about your score anyway.
Oh, stop. So that's a 34, I believe, right? 34, I think, is the collective score if my math is correct.